You're listening to 95.7 The Game, KGMZ, and HD1 San Francisco, your radio home for every single Warriors playoff game. They won last night, looked fantastic, and to talk about that, hockey, all of it, the one and only Tony Bruno.
Don't give me no lines and keep your hands to yourself.
The man, the myth, the legend is back with us again. Tony, I don't know how much of that you heard, but we sent a family to the A's game last night, and the team went out of their way to have an above and beyond experience for this family. And we talk about negative stuff all the time. I just wanted to start with a little positivity and sunshine. And hello, Tony Bruno, how are you?
Hello. No, I heard the whole story. That's great. And, you know, we don't have a lot of that. And I guess, unfortunately, in the world in which we live, that kind of stuff, people apparently don't get warmed up by that. I'm always happy when I see good stories. Unfortunately, there's so many negative stories. It's hard to, like, well, it's easy to slip one in every once in a while. Unfortunately, the negativity runs amok.
Oh, easy to slip one in once in a while. Isn't that what Tristan Thompson told Khloe Kardashian?
Oh.
Sorry. We're going to keep it positive here on the show. We're looking for positivity. We really, really are. I'm trying.
Well, I'll tell you one thing that's positive. It's positively a fact that we can thank the San Antonio Spurs for their participation in this year's NBA postseason.
Yeah, this is only a matter of time. I mean, they're not going to look, they could get a game, but they're not getting out of the series. I think that's pretty obvious. What do you think about what's going on with Kawhi Leonard? I haven't seen a face of the franchise guy turn his back on a franchise like this, maybe ever in the NBA.
Not since probably Bobby Bonilla days.
Yes.
But he's still getting paid. You know, I don't know whether Kawhi Leonard will be getting paid 30 years from now.
August 1st, that's $1 million for Bonilla.
Yeah, you talk about crazy stories. I mean, there's so many crazy stories in all sports and in the NBA especially. But the Kawhi Leonard thing, the fact that this, it's like, are they looking for, that they check the basement of the Alamo to see if he's down there? I don't ever remember a star player on a team just basically disappearing.
Right. I mean, normally they're there in street clothes when they're hurt and it's playoff time, but Kawhi and his group, as Greg Popovich calls it, are on the other side of the country and obviously have no plans on rejoining the Spurs anytime. You know, I had Nick Wright of FS1 on my show yesterday, and I think he might have said the thing that makes the most sense. He said, like, the only way this Kawhi Leonard thing makes any sense at all is if you assume he's done with San Antonio. Then none of this has to be explained away. You get it all.
Yeah, exactly. But the uncertainty, the fact that there's no definitive word from either side on what's going on here, that's what makes it crazy. I mean, you know, Greg Popovich is one of those guys. He's revered. He's one of those coaches that he takes control. He rests players when he feels like he has to, just like Steve Kerr does. And so, you know, he's beyond reproach, so to speak, as far as questioning what's going on in the organization. But he doesn't know what's going on, apparently. At least publicly, he hasn't said anything.
Tony Bruno here on 95.7 The Game.
But how about the Sharks, though? How about your Sharks about to sweep the Anaheim Ducks?
Well, that's exactly where we were going, because Jonas
Donskoy
is joining us. Jonas Donskoy is going to be on at 4:20 today, and he scored last night with two helpers, Tony.
Here's a 2-on-1. Donskoy, Kane.
The Don Father, Randy Hahn, NBC Sports. That's pretty good stuff right there. Yeah, the Sharks, they're skating with some real venom right now, man. They look fantastic. I don't know. Look, I didn't pay a lot of attention to the NHL this year. I can't tell you how good the Ducks are or aren't, but the Sharks are a lot better, and that's pretty obvious.
Yeah, and, you know, the Sharks certainly are one of those teams that, you know, the President's Cups and then the disappointments in the postseason all those years, and now all of a sudden the Ducks aren't terrible, and the fact that they just scored 7 unanswered and beat them down 8-1 to pretty much put this one on ice, so to speak, and could finish the sweep. Not only can your Sharks finish the sweep, how about those Golden Knights of Las Vegas about to put the Kings out to pasture as well?
That's amazing. This is the greatest expansion team in the history of expansion. I mean, this is the greatest team in the history of just putting on 10 pounds, like expanding that way. I've never seen any team have this much success this early into its dawn. I mean, this is not supposed to happen. Why is it happening?
I don't know. I mean, obviously from the get-go, they played great. They played, and then people, oh, wait till they get to the playoffs. They're in the playoffs, and they're boat racing the Los Angeles Kings. So I totally agree with you, Damon. I don't ever remember, and I've been around sports a long time, and certainly expansion teams. I don't ever remember an expansion team in any sport, not just having a nice first season and, you know, sneaking into the playoffs, but absolutely dominating from start to finish, and now in the first, about to sweep their first ever playoff series.
Right. I mean, it was amazing that the Miami Marlins won their World Series, I think, like 7 years into their existence, whatever it was. And that was, I thought, the greatest expansion run of all time. This has rewritten the book on everything. I don't know if this is a testimony as to how good they are, or a testimony as to maybe the parity that the NHL is dealing with. I'll tell you one thing. There used to be distinct home ice advantages. It doesn't matter anymore. Home rink advantage really doesn't matter at all, Tony. It doesn't seem like it does. You know, there used to be soft spots on the boards, dead spots on the dashers, you know, like they had dead spots on the old Boston Garden court.
Yep.
And, you know, the ice in Madison Square Garden was awful and slushy. Now I think everybody's skating on the same sheet of ice, same perfect dimensions, and it's been homogenized.
No, you're absolutely right. And I think the advantage that the Golden Knights have had is they actually got the pick of the litter. So they basically got a lot of good players from a lot of different teams instead of just saying, all right, you take our worst guy and you take our worst guy. I mean, they've got some good players and they meshed right away in the organization. I'm sorry. I don't want to say organization this time of the year.
Thank you.
I'm growing my playoff beard, by the way, for all sports right now.
Oh, that's fantastic. Is it bushy? Are there little birds hiding in it, or is it still tight to the chin?
No, I don't have a real thick beard, so when it grows, it's growing in gray, but it's a little shabby right now. It'll grow in, but it's going to have to be a thick, fuller beard for it to look good. I can't get that tight, you know, just barely the stubble look.
The shadow?
Because it's gray, yeah.
The Jimmy Garoppolo perma shadow?
Exactly. The one where, you know, you shave in the morning, and then by 5 o'clock in the afternoon, you look like you need to shave again look.
Yes.
But that's cool now, because that's what guys go out now without shaving. It used to be, oh, I got to get shaved and cleaned up. Now it's like, no, I got the stubble. It looks good. I'm cool.
By the way, and when you do shave, shave with Harry's Razors. Enter promo code Damon and get the free post-shave balm. There you go. I'll give him a little plug.
So what do I have to put in now to get the Damon Brew special?
Go to harrys.com, and at checkout, Tony, you put in Damon as promo code, and you get the post-shave balm for free to leave yourself nice and silky smooth.
Oh, beautiful, man. Beautiful.
Very nice. Very, very nice. Someone just said here on the text line, you know, the Diamondbacks, they won in their fourth year of existence. Yeah, that was amazing, too. No doubt about it. But what the Sharks, or excuse me, what the Golden Knights are doing now is just beyond any expansion story that has ever been told. Let's talk a little bit about these 76ers who look great in game one. Apparently, Kevin Hart pissed off Dwayne Wade in game two. And Gabrielle Union's waiting at home with sexual favors for him, which has got to be exciting if you're Dwayne Wade.
Well, yeah, I mean, the Sixers, it's amazing. Everybody was saying after game one when they dropped 130 on the oh, you know, that's it. You know, this series is over after game one. They don't even need Joel Embiid to come back. Let him rest.
Yeah.
Then all of a sudden, game two, and everything that the Heat was throwing up there was going in, and the Sixers couldn't make a three-pointer. And their defense wasn't good. They couldn't stop Dwayne Wade. You know, we thought Dwayne Wade was done when he was with LeBron. He looks like he did 10 years ago, the way he's playing right now. It's unbelievable. Maybe it's the woman at home. Maybe it is Gabrielle Union.
Maybe it is Kevin Hart. By the way, that's what Dwayne Wade told Ramona Shelbourne.
What got into you tonight?
Kevin Hart.
Kevin Hart, really?
Yep. Thank Kevin Hart for that.
You can thank Kevin Hart for that, Philadelphia.
Yeah, I think Sixer fans are ready to have Kevin Hart banned from the they're going to lock him in a Starbucks here in Philadelphia and not let him out.
No sensitivity. We're going to have to send you to sensitivity training, Tony Bruno. How about this? There is one thing about the 76ers that must be mentioned on this broadcast right now. The center court logo of the Liberty Bell with a snake wrapped around it is the best center court logo in the NBA, Tony.
I saw it and I know what they're doing, but it looks to me like they cut up an octopus to make some ceviche, because it's like all severed arms and stuff, all severed limbs. And I'm thinking, is that a nice little octopus salad that they're making? I know it's a snake and it's an old symbol from back in the day.
The Don't Tread on Me?
Yeah, I don't know what I don't know exactly the origin. It's a cool look, but when I see those separate parts of the snake, you know, you can't be cutting the snake. The snake must. I mean, I know if you cut the head off like a worm, or if you cut a worm in half, it still continues to grow and live. I don't know if that happens with a snake.
I'm not sure if that happens.
The Sixers got snake bit last night, and I agree. Kevin Hart should be banned from the Wells Fargo Center. Well, he won't. They're going to Miami now anyway for the next two. But that was stupid what he did. That's the old Spike Lee with the New York Knicks at Madison Square Garden, you know, trying to be like the extra push that the home team needs. Most of the time, Spike Lee hurt the Knicks.
Exactly.
And now you got Kevin Hart, who's public enemy number one, because he's helping the opponents beat his home team.
And what's really funny is you go back, you watch a 30 for 30 about Spike versus Reggie or whatever, and when John Starks and the Knicks eliminated the Pacers in Game 6 that year that Spike became public enemy number one in his own barn, he, like, gave John Stark this hug, and he's like, thanks, man, they were going to throw me out of New York. So that's what Kevin Hart. That's what Kevin Hart is dealing with. Hey, it is great to talk to you, as always, but we've got
Dunce Boy
coming up here in just a matter of moments, Tony, which means we got to run. Thank you, as always. Enjoy your Embiid. Enjoy your Instagram photos. Enjoy your Tristan Thompsoning, whatever you're doing this weekend. Thank you very much, as always, my friend.
Thank you, Damon, and let's go Sharks, and let's go Warriors, and let's go Giants. Score some runs. You only have 46 in the beginning of the year.
Oh, man.
Thank you, Tony. You're right. Yes, coming up next.
Here's a 2-on-1. Donskoy. Kane. Donskoy. Score!
The Damon Bruce Show on 95.7 The Game.
Welcome back to 95.7 The Game. I'm Damon Bruce, the president of the Jonas Donskoy Fan Club. He has been an obsession of this show. He has been a bite on this show, a sound drop on this show. He has been Donskoy celebrated by this show, but the one thing he has never been on is on this show until right now. Great night last night for the Sharks. 8 goals. One of those lamps was lit by Jonas Donskoy. He had 2 helpers in a fantastic win. 8-1, the final over the Ducks to go up 3-0 in this series. And we are thrilled that Sharks right winger Jonas Donskoy is joining us here on the Damon Bruce Show. Jonas, thank you for your time today. How you doing?
Hi, thank you. I'm doing good. Doing good.
It's
like you said, fun game last night, so doing good.
It's great to have you on, finally. We've been a big fan of yours for a long time, and what a great win for the Sharks last night. I'm guessing the atmosphere in the tank was off the hook.
Oh, yeah, that was unreal, and it was fun to get back in San Jose and get the first home game in the playoffs. So that was a great way to start the playoffs in San Jose.
8 different goal scorers last night in a game that had 8 goals in it. Have you ever been a part of a scoring outbreak like that in a playoff game before?
Oh, no. And I don't even remember the last time we scored 8 goals in the regular season either. So that was fun game. And I think that's the strength of our team. We have a lot of depth and we have a lot of guys who can score goals.
Why do you think playoff hockey feels so much different than regular season hockey? Because it's almost like it's 2 different sports.
It is. It's like starting a new season, and it's so much fun to first of all be in the playoffs, and you know, team is doing good, and just the Shark Tank is so amazing in the playoffs. Fans are so loud, and it's just different feeling, and yeah, it's the best time for hockey player.
Jonas Donskoy here on 95.7 The Game. So obviously the Ducks have to be very frustrated. You've done a lot to frustrate them. I thought they were taking some cheap shots towards the end of that game. Do you feel like they were starting to play dirty?
Well, yeah. I think they were taking some penalties that they maybe shouldn't take. But that's fine with us. We try to stay out of that and just focus on playing and. But, you know, we still need one more win, and I'm sure they're going to come hard tomorrow again.
Jonas, let's talk about your line mates, Evander Kane and Joe Pavelski. I thought it was great to see Kane come out and score the first 2 goals of Game 1. It helped him really settle into the playoffs, don't you think?
Oh yeah, that was first playoff game for Canada after I don't know how many games in regular season, maybe 500 something. So that was really fun for him to get two goals right away, and he's really great player and great guy in the locker room. So we are really happy to have him.
Yeah, I mean, you guys have been rolling since picking up Evander Kane. What has he done to the locker room? It seems like a team that just came alive as soon as he joined it.
Oh yeah, he's such a nice guy in the locker room, and he's friendly to everybody, and such an amazing player. It's so much fun to play in the same line with him. He brings so much into the team. He's so strong, fast. He can make plays. He can score goals. So he's really a great addition to the team.
So how much different is this Sharks team compared to the one that made the Stanley Cup Finals in 2016? Do you think you're better prepared to go skate for a cup now than you were that year?
Well, it's always hard to compare, but I think there's a lot of similar things in this team. We have four good lines who can all score goals, but I think we have a lot of same guys, so we have the experience and a guy like me. That was my rookie year in the NHL, so now I have a couple of years in my backpack and a lot of experience. So I think that will help on the way for sure.
Hopefully it does help you out. Jonas Donskoy here on 95.7 The Game. You just turned 26 years old. You had your birthday. What'd you do?
We were at Anaheim, so we just went for dinner with the guys, and that's really all I needed.
Nice. No, you didn't make it to Disneyland?
No, I did not. I was taking more relaxing day for me between the games.
Hey, how many dancing Donskoys do you have in your home right now?
Oh, so many. Probably like 30 or something. They're all the boys dancing. Cheering me up.
So we've got one here in the studio. The Sharks were nice enough to send us a whole bunch. We love our dancing Donskoys. The Sharks haven't lost a game, by the way, since we got our dancing Donskoys.
Oh, yeah? I didn't know that. Small.
You are undefeated.
Yeah, but I really love that bobblehead. It's biggest. But I still think the real Donskoy dance is better, though.
Oh, well, are we going to, if we get another Donskoy goal, could we get a little Donskoy dance on the ice?
I don't think I can do that, but that would be nice, though.
How much different is Finland than San Jose?
Oh, it's like completely opposite. It's so cold in the winter, and you don't get much sun in the winter. We get like 5 or 6 hours sun, and so dark all the time. So it's really nice to be here. We have good weather all year long, so I'm really enjoying it.
Jonas, do you go back in the off season? Do you spend much time at home, or is Northern California your home now?
I feel like it's getting more and more home all the time. Like my first year, I was happy to get back in summer, but now I feel like I don't know if I want to go back too much. I really enjoy it here, but of course it's always nice to go back to see family and friends and hang out a little bit. But you know, I feel like San Jose is becoming more home for me.
That's good. Well, obviously they love you in San Jose. We love you too, man. Thank you so much for joining us. Continued success to you and your teammates. It's always tough to close out a team, especially when you're looking to sweep. Big game for the Sharks, and hopefully you step on their necks tomorrow. Jonas, thank you for joining us, and good luck to you. Keep dancing for us, okay?
All right, thank you. Have a good one.
I got to tell you, I'm not even going to apologize for my man crush right now. He was fantastic. Look, I'm a sucker for an accent. Where have I heard that before?
They sucked at defense.
Is Finland and Lithuania, are they close to each other?
I have no idea.
It's a very similar accent.
He did sound pretty cool, though. I love it, too.
He was great. We should have asked him to sing the Welcome to Lithuania song.
Welcome to Lithuania. Welcome to Lithuania.
I tell you, what a nice guy he was. What a cool, approachable, yet another hockey player. I mean, they really are the easiest group of athletes to ever sit down and have a little conversation with. And we really appreciate the Sharks for helping us with that one. Albie had a bee in his bonnet that he wanted to get him on. And I was just like, I don't know, is it going to work? Is the accent maybe a little too thick for the air?
And no.
He saw him in the, you know, he saw him do an interview post ice last night, and he's like, we can get through this. We can do this.
It was great. It was entertaining. I love the fact that he says that he dances better than the real Bobaway. So, well, I'm sure he does, but maybe he's got some moves.
Well, there's no doubt. You never sleep on a Finnish break dancer.
I'll keep that in mind.
Yeah. Breakdancing in Finland is huge, and he can do it all. Look at Elena. She's playing with the bobblehead right now. It does. It's got a nice little...
Nice little move.
Yeah, it's
nice
got a
little shimmy.
Nice dip in your hip. Looks good. Looks really, really good. Anyways,
very cool.
Thanks to the Sharks. Look, why wouldn't you want to get it out there right now? You are sitting pretty. 3-0 on the Ducks. It looks like this thing is over before it begins. And again... 8 goals last night. We like this one the most.
Here's a 2-on-1. Donskoy. Kane. Donskoy. Score! The Don Father with his first goal of this series.
Randy Hahn, NBC Sports California. The Don Father. I like that too. I like that one too. I really do.
Franchise record for most goals scored in a playoff game for the Sharks.
Nice.
Yeah, very cool.
Very nice way. Way to get it up and done. D. Bruce, thanks for the interview. Thanks for the Sharks talk. That was great. Well, look, you know, we try to stay in the lanes we're most comfortable in, and I love playoff hockey more than I like regular season hockey, and I've officially paid more attention to the NHL in the last 6 days than I did in the last 6 months. I'm not going to lie to you, and I don't have to lie to you because 90% of you are in the exact same boat I am. The other 10% of you are just lying about it. No, look, diehard hockey fans are diehard hockey fans. It's a shame that you don't have anything that goes out of its way to cater just to you.
Mm-hmm.
Except for maybe Hockey Night in Canada. That would be about it. But I really, really, I enjoy the heck out of that, and I hope you did too. It's like, it's so funny. He's, you know, it's a very obscure San Jose Shark that you probably have to be a listener of the show of to really... think of this as a big deal. But you should have seen the station today.
We're also excited. When you said he was on, I freaked out.
Like, Albie could have turned to me and said, Damon, I got Jordan today, 4:30. I don't think I would have been that much more excited than Donskoy at 4:20. I really mean it. As a matter of fact, let's find out. Because joining us right now, Hall of Famer Michael Jordan here on the Damon Brew Show. Michael, how you doing?
Donskoy!
Just kidding. See, I deked you. It's hockey season. It's playoff time. Deke, and move on. Hey, here's something that I just can't wrap my mind around. Maybe you can go ahead and help me with this one. How is Steph Curry still the people's champ? Seriously, how is Steph Curry still the people's champ? Got a press release from the Warriors today that the Golden State Warriors as a team lead the NBA in 10 most popular team merchandise sales. The top 15 most popular NBA jerseys, Steph Curry, number one. How many games has he missed this year? You know, out of sight, out of mind, usually applies to athletes more than any other group in the world. By the way, top 15 NBA jersey sales. Steph Curry, LeBron James, Kevin Durant, Giannis, Kyrie, Russell Westbrook, Kristaps, Joel Embiid, James Harden, Ben Simmons, Kawhi Leonard, probably not going to sell as good as they used to.
Right.
Lonzo Ball, Dame Lillard, Klay Thompson, and Jimmy Butler round out the top 15. Now, LeBron James, again, I'm going to put him almost in the Steph Curry category because, like, hasn't that guy been around long enough to where if you really wanted a jersey, you would have had one by now?
Yeah, but they have so many options now for jerseys. So every year or every couple of years, you might get a new one. You want the town jersey. You want their, you know, commemorative jersey for this, their new, you know, Chinese New Year jersey.
Right. There's a lot of different Curry jerseys to buy, which I guess, you know, brings you back to the store for another new jersey. You got the slates. You got the Chinese New Year's. You got those old school white jammers that I really like. When they come to San Francisco, I wouldn't be surprised at all if they went back to the city jerseys, which is another two jerseys you need if you need a home and an away. But this is a guy who just finished his ninth NBA season. Two titles, two MVPs, been an outright global phenomenon for at least the last four of what is now a almost decade-long, nine-year-long NBA career. What, LeBron is in his 15th year. How do you need a LeBron jersey now? Like, you haven't had one already?
We also think two parents buying them for their kids.
Maybe.
Once kids get involved, they start asking them for Christmas and birthdays and when you're at the game.
I guess, but I that's fantastic.
It's cool.
It's fantastic that Curry is, someone's like, hey, Damon, I'm so fat now that I had to buy an XL. So maybe, yes, the audience,
fat.
As the audience gets fatter, you have to buy another jersey. You know, maybe everyone in Cleveland burnt their LeBron jersey the first time around, so they need a second one. But, like, what's the number one selling album of all time? Is it Thriller, Dark Side of the Moon, whatever? You know, I don't know if it changed. The number one selling album of all time got there by selling a whole bunch of records, but obviously didn't sell that many this week, because if you wanted that, you probably had it by now, right? Thriller, by the way, is the number one selling album of all time.
Is it Thriller?
66 million copies. Damn.
Yeah, Michael Jackson. Look at that.
No wonder why he got all weird. Seriously. If I sold 66 million copies, I probably would have cut my nose off too.
That's a lot of albums.
That's a ton of albums. And that's just one. It's got nothing to do with Off the Wall, Bad. Off the Wall is his best album, by the way.
It was good.
Don't be fooled by Thriller. Off the Wall is still the best Michael Jackson album.
Too bad he was so strange, so talented.
Yeah, that guy was out there. By the way, there's some people saying here that I totally got them on that Michael Jordan deke. Some guy's like, Damon, I just got into my car. The first sentence I heard was, coming up next, Michael Jordan. And he was like, I was ready.
That'll keep you.
Thank you. Thank you. Nothing but illustrious guests.
But yeah, I think there still is a market out there for people to want new jerseys every year.
That's something else. I mean, maybe it was the fact that it was the first year of Nike jerseys, which means everyone had to go out and buy a new jersey for everyone this year. I don't know, but that is a brisk business being done around a Golden State Warrior, a couple of them since Clay's on this list, and more merch sold than any other team in the NBA.
Wow.
You and me and one of your buddies are all drinking together at a bar in 1997, 1998, and I lean over and say, hey, in 2018, the Golden State Warriors are going to lead the world in NBA merchandise. You would have laughed off your bar stool. You would have fallen on the floor. You'd have peanuts stuck to your face. No one would have believed me. It's amazing to see how things go. See how much things can change. By the way, we are going to get ourselves a Hey, How Are Ya? With Steve Kerr coming up at 5 o'clock today. Definitely looking forward to that. D. Bruce, those old school white jerseys that the Warriors wear, they're fresh. Yeah, I haven't seen the word fresh in a really long time.
That's a good one. I forget about that.
That is fresh. Cool in the Gang had a song.
I can think of so fresh and so clean, clean, but that's not Cool in the Gang.
Yeah, no. She's exciting.
Oh, yeah.
She's so exciting to me. She's fresh, she's so fresh. Exciting.
Come on, people.
Sorry.
A little detour.
Sorry.
Damon Karaoke.
Sorry. How many milligrams are behind this show today? None. I feel good. Just happy.
We just had Donskoy on, of course.
We just had Donskoy. We're still celebrating. The Warriors are sitting in a pretty 2-0 hole. The Sharks are in a 3-0 hole. They should have 55,000, I would say, over at the Coliseum tonight for a little baseball game. And hopefully the Giants muscle one out of the infield. You know, that'd be great too, wouldn't it? It's a good thing the Giants had the day off so all Bay Area could go home a winner last night. It really is. Thanks, Giants. Way to catch a scheduling break. By the way, that humidor is going to be working against them in Arizona today, isn't it? I tell you, what's the math that we did at this? Let's say the unthinkable happens and the Giants go get swept in Arizona. They'll be 8 games back. They'll be 8 games back before you've had your weed on 420. That's not good.
Mm-mm, not good at all.
God. I'm telling you, there's a lot of baseball left, but a slow start when you're playing all these in-division games, you can get buried. You can get buried. Damon, in 1982, the U.S. population was 237 million people, so basically a quarter of the U.S. population bought Thriller. Well, that's a global number. That's a global number. But I can tell you this. Thriller is definitely the only album that every single one of my friends also owned. You know, when I was a kid, like, I had my taste in music and you had your taste in music. But the one taste in music we all agreed on was this Thriller. Like, like people today, like, put a song out on SoundCloud. They're like, oh, can I cop that? Yeah, Thriller is the ultimate. Can I cop that? Thriller was the ultimate. Gots to get that. That's a hot album.
I do that in spoken words sometimes when I need to put my son to sleep at night. Like, the five, you know, he was like, tell me a story. So I'm like, it's close to midnight. Something's evil lurking from the dark.
Oh, so you try to scare the hell out of your kid before it goes
but
to
he's
bed?
Like, tell me a scary story. And like, that's all that comes to mind.
Nice.
Like, I start speaking lyrics of songs since this is one of his favorites.
Smart.
Yeah. We do it all the time. But Thriller is a popular one. So yeah, it's still till this day. We have the song.
Do you go with just the Vincent Price monologue in the middle of it? Or do you
I'm like, cause this is Thriller. Thriller night. And no one's going to save you. No, we do the whole thing.
I think you should start breaking down Randy Hahn playoff goals. Put them to bed. So here's how the Donskoy goal sounded.
Here's a 2-on-1. Donskoy. Kane. Donskoy. Score!
So you can just be like, it's a 2-on-1. Donskoy. Kane. Donskoy. Goal. And that would be nice. Put him to sleep.
That could work.
Raise your kid a Sharks fan.
I like it.
We've been playing that one a lot. Hurdle had a good one last night on the power play.
LeBanc wheels it to Burns. Over to Couture. At the side, they score! Tomas Hurdle! A power play goal! And it's 5-1!
That's sexy. Another power play goal after that. Pavelski's turn.
Donskoy out front. Meyer turns, fires. Rebound, and they score! Joe Pavelski! And it's a half dozen.
Well, that was happening down in San Jose over in Oracle. You had Andre Iguodala taken off from three. He had already hit one. Here's number two.
Looney with an offensive rebound. Finds Andre for an above-the-break three, and it's good from the right wing. Kevon Looney paying off right away. Hitting the offensive glass. It's 12-8 Warriors. Iguodala with two triples so far.
Andre Iguodala knocked down three in that game. He played very well. Draymond Green says, Andre, shoot it more.
You know, one thing we always say to Andre, you know, shoot the ball. You know, we trust his shot. We got confidence in him. And when he sees no shots, it does something for our offense, a lot for our offense.
Spaces that floor. He had four threes last night. Thank you very much. Good to see him involved. Good to see him caring. Really, really is. Really is good to see. I don't know if Andre Iguodala was going to go ahead and dig down into that well and show us the player we knew he could be after he spent an entire 82-game regular season schedule pretty much, what I thought, prepping you for the player that you had left. He was just slow playing this whole year, and, you know, there's a part that wants you to get mad. Part wants you to be a little bit mad, but given that you really need Andre Iguodala, apparently, the Warriors are right. The NBA regular season no longer matters at all. How about this? Should we just start taking bets on next year? Are they the 3 or the 4 seed next year? The 3 or the 4 seed next year, will it matter? Maybe that'll be one of the 5 before 5 coming up. Steve Kerr is going to join us at 5 o'clock today. And we're also going to qualify another listener for our Alaska Airlines Flyaway Round 1 promotion. That'll be given away tomorrow, I believe, on the morning show. So you're going to want to pay close attention to all that. We'll have a trivia question for you at 5 o'clock, followed by Warrior head coach Steve Kerr.
Some things you need to know. Some things you want to know. It's 5.
5 before 5 on 95.7 The Game.
All right, we started this yesterday, and we like it an awful lot to the point where I think it's going to be a daily feature.
Look at that.
All right.
You ready?
I'm ready.
All right,
if it means more of you, I am definitely ready. Let's do this.
Well, let's get rolling.
Number one.
If the Warriors, Damon, steamroll everyone on their path to another championship.
Yes.
What does that mean for next year's regular season?
Oh, it's funny. We were just talking about this when I went to break.
Yes,
and
you were.
I, by the way, I have no idea the five topics Gianna's about to ask me. That's where the magic, I guess, happens.
Super secret.
Probably shouldn't tell him we're about to saw this lady in half, but that's the trick. Look, the Warriors just sent a clear message all season long that seeding no longer matters, regular season win total no longer matters, only postseason focus and effort matters. And if they're rewarded with a decisive NBA championship after what is their first stressful Steve Kerr season, I don't expect us to be stressing about any regular season outcome again, which will sort of neuter the enthusiasm we watch the entire regular season with. But if the payoff is you get to be NBA champions to the point where they'll talk about you throughout history forever, that's a trade-off most fans are, I think, willing to make. I think if the regular season was a B this year, expect a B-minus, C-plus regular season next year.
Might be a little disappointing for some fans, though, who can't afford playoff tickets.
Yes, but, you know, it's never about, you know, I never think like, oh, this is going to determine the price of who gets in or who gets out, that sort of thing. These tickets are going to be expensive in perpetuity. You know, they're getting one more year of excellence next year, and then they're going to move to San Francisco, and nothing will be cheaper from that day ever again. I guess we're going to have to deal with the fact that the regular season really doesn't matter that much and won't probably until this run is over. And then it'll matter in terms of just like, well, let's see if they can gear up to do what they just went through again.
So we'll just have to be okay with it.
Yeah, I guess so.
All right, more Warriors.
Number two.
More Warriors, all right.
After seeing what Klay and Draymond have done for the Warriors in Steph's absence, does it make you rethink about making big roster moves, potentially pursuing Anthony Davis? Should they keep the band together regardless?
Nah, there's nobody else who's a max player coming to the Golden State Warriors. I'm just trying to keep this together. And look, my Draymond Green stock was down this year during the regular season based on he just had a very mundane year. A barking, angry playoff Draymond Green reminds everybody in two games what his true value to this team is. You just keep these four guys together, surround them with veteran minimums, and you should be good.
So even though they have a commanding 2-0 lead in the series over the Spurs or shifting to San Antonio, is there anything that concerns you at this point? Or
yeah.
Do you just think they're going to plow through?
So I'm concerned about the San Antonio Spurs getting a couple games because games 3 and 4 are being played in such a mausoleum that no one's up or excited for it. If the Warriors are up and excited for a game, that other team's in trouble. If they're not up and excited for a game, maybe they could be in trouble. What I really hope, the only thing that stresses me out about this series now, Gianna, is that it ends in 4 or 5 games, because game 6 would fall on NFL draft day and totally screw up our big NFL draft spectacular with yours truly, Joe Fortenbaugh and Greg Papa, that we've got planned coming up from Schroeder's. So I want a pretzel. I want a pretzel beer in an NFL draft.
Okay, fair enough.
Number 3.
Bryce Harper hit a rare broken bat home run yesterday.
And Lobatone setting up inside. The barrel of the bat flew all the way to the screen. And look at this! See you later on a broken bat. The bat hit the screen behind the bat boy. And Bryce Harper hits it out of the yard.
I think Roy Hobbs just hit a home run. I know it's happened before. I've never seen it. A broken bat home run for Bryce Harper. Are you kidding me? Are you kidding me?
MASN on the call. His MLB leading.
That was FP Santangelo. It's our old buddy, FP.
Yeah. His MLB leading eighth of the season. Should the Giants do whatever it takes to bring him to San Francisco next season?
I mean, it feels unlike a Giant move. The Giants just don't seem like the team that comes up with $400 million for anyone, even though they were the team that came up with $127 for Zito or $126, whatever it was. I don't think Bryce Harper is coming to a ballpark that might have a negative impact on what he hopes will be Hall of Fame numbers one day. I think Bryce Harper's going to Wrigley Field. His dog name is Wrigley. Chris Bryant's his pal. I think the Cubs have been printing money since early 1900s, so they've got it. Harper's not coming to San Francisco. I will say that definitively and authoritatively once again into this microphone.
They have to do something.
Bryce Harper's not coming to San Francisco.
That would be cool, though, wouldn't it?
And not as cool as being in the Cubs.
Says a Cubs fan. All right.
Number four.
Angels are 13-3. Shohei Ohtani is the best story in baseball right now. But just the other day, Ohtani and Angels asked fans to quiet down during his at-bats. Is this a weak move by the Halos?
To be quiet during his...
They told the fans to just settle down, be quiet when he's at-bat.
Like they made an announcement like...
Today's hitter, Shohei Ohtani, would like a little more quiet here in the ballpark, please.
He needs a little bit more. He needs them to kind of settle down a little bit so I guess he can focus.
Yeah.
To a group of fans specifically. There was a group of fans, I guess, going a little nuts, and they were like, hey, take it down a notch.
Okay, were they being foul-mouthed? Was it a...
They were just fangirls.
Were they quieting the fans for Ohtani's sake or for the sake of families sitting around those fans?
I think for Ohtani's sake.
All right.
That's what it seemed like.
Well, so if you need quiet during your backswing, there is a PGA Tour out there that's ready for you. If you need quiet during your major league at bat, your career is already over. I don't care how great your start is. If you need quiet during your major league at bat, you ain't going to be around these parts much longer.
Does it say something about him?
Nah, it just says something about our cultures, I think.
Maybe he's not adjusting
just
to
says
that.
Something about different. By the way, Japanese baseball crowds are louder than American baseball crowds like you wouldn't believe. Like, they're in constant chant the entire time. Like, fans chant. Like, you, and somebody's told me that was going to games in Japan. Like, if you can get a translation, you wouldn't believe these chants are tantamount to, like, dear sir, Mr. Batter, if you could get a hit for us, please, we'd be greatly appreciative. Like, that's what they're chanting during at-bats. But, like, 50,000 people, all in unison, all making noisemakers, all using thunder sticks, all using Karate Kid 2, Daniel LaRusso's gonna fight drums.
So then shouldn't he be used to that?
Yes! He should be ready to go. Not to mention, I figured down in Anaheim, they're not getting too fired up about anything except for the new loop-de-loop at Thunder Mountain at Disney.
13-3. All right, one more.
Number five.
Greg Popovich has an interesting relationship with reporters. Obviously, he gets real salty. But how about this? Apparently, has one with Gatorade as well. I don't know if you heard this.
What if I don't like this? There's too much sugar and all that kind of stuff. I don't want to promote that. I'm just teasing you. I have a sense of humor, right? Just because you got your ass kicked tonight doesn't mean you have to have a sense of humor. Okay, what do you want? I'm so tired of this.
So he's referring to the Gatorade bottle that sits in
right.
front of the microphone. Basically,
I saw it.
You know, it's an advertisement for Gatorade, obviously. Is this entertaining still, Damon? Is this getting a little bit old?
Well, here's the thing. You can't step to the podium telling jokes, and then when John Dickinson asks you a question, you treat him like he's not even human, like he's lucky to be there asking you a question. How dare you ask of me a question? Like, let me just say this, too, about Greg Popovich. The reason why when he said that early in the soundbite, he's like, oh, would you relax? He said that because somebody who works in NBA promotions, knowing that Gatorade is a main corporate sponsor,
yep.
was watching that moment and horrified. And I'm just going to tell you this. Here's a little lesson you learn very early in a media career. There's never a bad word to be uttered about the sponsors.
No.
I love every single one of our sponsors. Let me tell you that definitively. I don't care how annoying the commercial might be to you. Love it. Scientology running commercials. Love it. 1-800 cars for kids. Love it. Never say anything negative about the sponsors. Not never. Or that could be your last day on the air. And that includes you, Gregor Popovich.
But technically, he's a sponsor for the NBA, which whom he
yeah,
you know,
I,
works
yeah,
for.
He,
I get
he kind of works for them.
Might not him. I mean, he doesn't have to endorse Gatorade.
No, he doesn't. But if the league has an agreement that is on the dais during press conferences, then there it is.
He still has to be nice and professional about it.
Right.
I know. At some point, someone's got to say something. I think it's getting a little bit old.
So, somebody,
I like the spicy, but
I think it was, I got to check here on Twitter real fast. Let me see if I can look it up real quickly, because I believe it might have been Nate Duncan. Let me look here. Nate, I know this is, it's always so good to hear somebody looking through their Twitter, on a radio segment. But basically, Bill Simmons got all spicy today. Bill Simmons basically said, how come nobody in the media asked Popovich a question like, why isn't Kawhi at these games supporting the team? And can you give us one example from the past 2 months that Kawhi even still wants to be a Spur? Like, Greg Popovich has intimidated the media in every city to where he doesn't get any pointed questions asked at them. And so Bill Simmons, I guess, was asking this aloud, saying, I'm going to be there, or, you know, I'm going to talk about this on my podcast today. Well, Nate Duncan, who does a great job covering the NBA, he wrote back to this and said, you know, I've been there and I've considered it. I didn't, because being confrontational in a press conference is really not my thing. And also because it's unlikely to get a real answer.
Well, that's probably right. I don't think you're going to get much out of him. But your job is to kind of dig deep and get answers to questions.
Right. And then he also says, but it's not like Bill can't get a credential and come up here and ask himself. Like, aren't you getting paid $7 million a year to walk into a meeting at HBO and say, Andre the Giant, and then walk out? Like, Bill Simmons is being paid $7 million a year to record the same podcast he was recording before he got to HBO, not do a show for HBO, and come up with ideas for HBO. And if you think that he is there, like, carefully editing documentaries, that's not what he does.
That does not happen. Well, that is your 5 before 5, and we are just before 5.
Oh, look at that. I love that. I'm glad. It timed out so very well.